Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thanks so much for joining me on this Friday morning to start your day with the Word of God in prayer. It is Friday morning, so that means it is time for Creation Club. Good morning, Pastor Worth. How are you today?
Good morning, Andy. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm excited to talk about more Creation Club matters. What do you have for us today?
Well, the first thing we have has to do with school. Now, I know a lot of our listeners don't want to think about school.
No.
School is out for the summer here in the United States, and most people are in summer mode. But what's taught in our government-run schools, our public schools, is something that should be a concern to all of us. And here we have something from the United Kingdom about state-funded schools and a new law that was passed that bans all teaching of creation science. There's a new regulation there that will not only stifle academic freedom, but effectively define the religion that all must be taught. And this is from an article on Answers in Genesis at their website. UK state-funded schools ban all teaching of creation science. The British educational system provides funding for many independent and church-run schools called free schools and academies. Church schools can become academies in order to take advantage of educational funding. But government money always comes with strings attached.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, churches and parent groups that wish to run their own schools but utilize public funds under the new, quote, church supplemental agreement, end of quote, must completely relinquish control over the science and religious teaching concerning origins in their schools. In effect, the UK is telling these schools that they can teach any religious doctrine they wish so long as they teach the religious philosophy of evolutionism in the science classroom and exclude student exposure to the scientific flaws in the evolutionary model. And if perchance any form of creationism is actually part of a sponsoring church's doctrine, the school can only discuss this doctrine if they tell children that its doctrinal position is scientifically untenable. So it's interesting. You say, well, how did they even define teaching creationism? Well, here's the actual quotation from their regulation. It says, creationism is any doctrine or theory which holds that natural biological processes cannot account for the history, diversity, and complexity of life on Earth, and therefore rejects the scientific theory of evolution. Now, notice what you're doing here. You're putting in place a teaching that is unquestionable. You know, for somebody, if anybody wants to receive public funding, so it's one thing to be in the public school system itself, but here in the UK, you can have church-run schools, private schools that receive public funding. But if you accept the money, then you must accept this. You must declare to your children not only that you won't expose them to the truth, not only about what the Bible says, but about what scientific evidence says that goes against the commonly accepted molecules to man theory of the evolution of life. They must also declare to them that the lie of evolution is unquestionable and unquestionably true. Very interesting. So these new regulations codify a statement of belief on the part of the school leadership. So much for that. It's explicitly stating that the parties in the document, that is, the school leadership, agree that a broad and balanced education must obviously exclude creationism, which is defined as any belief that questions evolutionary claims. The document says, in part here, we'll quote, the parties further recognize that the requirement of every academy and free school to provide a broad and balanced curriculum in any case prevents the teaching of creationism as evidence-based theory in any academy or free school. End of quotation. So in effect, any school official who signs this agreement in order to receive public educational funds must not only agree to obey the restrictions, but affix his or her signature to a document declaring agreement that the restriction is entirely appropriate. They are declaring that they agree with those who reject God's role as creator and God's word's account of creation. They are declaring that they have no qualms about the sufficiency of evolution to explain all of biology. They are declaring that they are ignorant of the fact that the actual observations of science, stripped of evolutionary presuppositions, are consistent with the biblical accounts of our origins and history. So the document ironically indicates then that the UK and educational leaders believe that a broad and balanced education should prevent students from being taught the critical thinking and discernment that would enable them to see the flaws of evolutionary claims and the distinction between two kinds of science, observational science versus historical or origin science. Now, here's something else that's going on. Evolutionism is out there really the new religion. You know, so in the name of trying to keep religion out of education and religion out of scientific education, what they've done is by calling creation science creationism, they're trying to indicate that that's religious, but really what they have is evolutionism or scientism, where they actually make a religion out of these things, and it's not based on real, observable, testable, repeatable scientific investigation. So they're ignoring the religious nature of the scientific theory of evolution. As Answers in Genesis would remind us, mm-hmm. our origins were not observed by any scientist. Therefore, any conclusions we can draw about our origins depend on which worldview we embrace. One in which we have the eyewitness account provided by the Creator is acknowledged as authoritative, or one in which God's word is rejected and replaced by man's fallible opinions. Belief in molecules to man evolution is thus rightly considered an ism, evolutionism, and it's dependent on a man's belief system and worldview. In effect, by enforcing the teachings of evolutionism as undeniable and banning any positive mention of creationism, regardless of the doctrinal position of the school sponsors, the UK regulations require church schools who use public funds to subscribe to the government-designed religious position. And here, too, they would go on to say, well, we just want people to use the scientific method. And they state that creationism does not accurately and consistently employ the scientific method, and as such, it should not be presented to pupils at the academy as a scientific theory. But stop and think about it. The scientific method is the process by which testable hypotheses are evaluated through repeated observations and controlled tests. But the time of our origins is past. The scientific method can only gather information and lead to testable conclusions about the testable present. The application of that information about the present is then used to evaluate worldview-based ideas about the unobservable past. Observational science does not support the key claims of evolutionism, the notion that life from non-living matters through natural processes and increasingly complex organisms evolved from a common ancestor through natural processes. These things have never actually been observed using the scientific method. However, observational science, information obtained through the scientific method, is completely consistent with historical science based on the information provided in God's Word. No scientist was present at the time of origins to document what happened, but we do have God's Word, where the Creator himself tells us what he did and how he did it in 6 days. Thus, the UK law is completely wrong. Evolutionism is actually not supported by the scientific method with respect to origin science, and people who believe in creation, scientists who believe in creation, are quite able to utilize their biblical belief as the basis for scientific discoveries in the present using the scientific method. Now, this is alarming to you, think about this. How did this law come about? The British Humanist Association has been campaigning since 2011 to get this kind of a law passed, and now they feel completely satisfied that they've achieved their goal in banning creation science from schools that receive any kind of funding in the UK. But they're not satisfied with that. Now, they are planning to push to get even more evolutionary teaching into other arenas and to particularly push for more inspections of non-state-funded schools. That proposal harbors enormous opportunities to coerce schools that have chosen to not accept government money to ultimately toe the party line anyway. And so what they're doing here is basically they're not promoting the development of critical thinking in students. It's protecting students from seeing the difference between observational scientific data and a worldview-based evolutionary historical spin put on it by evolutionary adherents. Now, what does that have to do with us in the United States? Well, so far, that law wouldn't touch us. It's across the ocean. But there is a danger that America might follow the lead of the UK. We certainly already have seen plenty of proponents of evolutionary belief in the United States pushing for such things. We've seen judges strike down laws that have tried to make it okay for creationism to be taught alongside evolutionism in the school. In other words, scientific evidence to be presented. Fortunately, we do have a couple of good examples in the United States where laws have been passed that hopefully will stand judicial scrutiny. In Louisiana and Tennessee, for example, laws have been passed that we've talked about previously on this program that protect teachers and students and give them academic freedom in order to openly discuss controversial claims of evolutionary science. Mainly, it would have to be on the basis of science, showing the kinds of things we've been talking about here, that there's no observable evidence that life ever did or could arise from non-living matter. There's no scientific observable evidence that organisms can spontaneously get new information and upgrade themselves to become other kinds of organisms. So that kind of stuff should be allowed in a classroom. And so far, in certain places, Louisiana and Tennessee, it is now the law that they can do this. But, you know, you never know. The United States often imitates Europe. And so we want to be vigilant and make sure that our schools in the United States don't go that way. And I guess it raises a question for our people who have students in public schools in the United States. You know, how long can we keep our kids in our public schools? And if you have private schools, beware of accepting government money because, as we've seen here in the case of the UK, where there's government funding, there's also strings attached where they want to control what you teach.
We just, about a week ago, spoke with a Lutheran school in Canada. And they, a few years ago, became a part of the local public school district, and they're in Alberta, and they actually can, the public school district has them set up as an alternative option for people or for families in their district. And but yet the church and the Lutheran school have, according to them, have complete say in what they teach when it comes to matters of doctrine.
That's interesting. I would be interested to see how that actually is playing out now, and one wonders in the future, because think about what's happened, again, in other places in Europe. Think about Sweden and places like that where Lutheranism is the state religion, and so you think, wow, isn't it cool that Lutheranism gets tax money? But what happened to the Lutheran Church in Sweden? It's totally corrupt. And the doctrine is horrible. You know, they've completely abandoned the Bible and the Lutheran confessions, and it's horrible. So one, I would say, beware. it may sound good to start with, but be very careful. Be very cautious, because you know, in Canada, in addition to creation versus evolution, think of all the other things that we believe on the basis of the Bible that go against what's popular and politically correct, whether in Europe, Canada, or the United States, whether it has to do with the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage as taught in the Bible. You go down your list of things, they're politically incorrect. Didn't we read just this past week that the Vice President of the United States was pontificating and saying that the United States thinks all countries need to recognize homosexual rights, and that if they don't, they're going to use money, our foreign aid and other things, to try to coerce foreign governments to accept this, and that no culture or religion is superior to this, that this issue, gay rights, trumps every culture and religion. That is a very scary statement. And it ties very much into this whole thing with creation versus evolution. As Ken Ham and the good people at Answers in Genesis have shown again and again, you know, how did we get to this point where we have abortion, where we have gay marriage, where we have all this kind of stuff in our country? Well, it didn't just happen overnight, and it started with, did God really say, the lie of Satan, who from the very beginning of Scripture tries to get people to not believe that what the Bible says is the truth. And you start with creation versus evolution, and pretty soon, you know, one teaching after another in the Bible is questioned. Ultimately, not only morality, but even the gospel itself. People don't want to believe that Jesus Christ is really the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, that he died on the cross and rose again to save us from our sins. All of that also eventually is called into question by the same one, the father of lies, who is the one who tries to get people to doubt the story of creation, the fall into sin, the flood of Noah's day, and so forth.
You mentioned earlier that when it comes to creation, there were no scientists there to observe creation of the world. And so observable science can't, there's no observable evidence of evolution. I mean, there was no scientists to observe the Big Bang or the creation based on evolution. However, when we look at the scriptures, the scriptures have been validated. Much of what we see in the scriptures, you were talking about the birth of Jesus and all those historical events, have, while the scriptures certainly we believe they are the true word of God, there are other sources that document that as well, correct?
Certainly, all kinds of historical things in the Bible are testable, are able to be scrutinized by using sources outside of the Bible itself. So the details of history that are included in the Bible regarding events in the Old Testament, and particularly things in the New Testament, like that Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, for example, you know. And while there was a time when people thought Pontius Pilate was a made-up person, that there was no historical person Pontius Pilate, archaeology has shown that, what do you know, there really was a Pontius Pilate, and he lived at the time and the place where the Bible says he did. And that happens again and again and again. Now, let's say up front, too, so that people don't get the wrong idea of the role of apologetics. Apologetics is not to prove the Bible. We believe the Bible because it's God's Word. God's Word is the truth. And yet we see in Christian apologetics that, again and again, human reason rightly used, and the tools that God gives us in this world, like science and archaeology, rightly used, do again and again show that what the Bible says is the truth when you're looking at things like history and science and things of that nature. But ultimately, let's be clear about this too, that faith is the work of the Holy Spirit, who through the gospel, the power of God for salvation, works faith in our hearts so that we believe that Jesus Christ is our crucified and risen Savior and Lord. That is not a matter of our reason or strength, not a matter of scientific proofs. It's a matter of the Holy Spirit helping us to believe what is not contrary to reason, but above reason. You know, faith in the Word of God. And you can prove that there was a man, Jesus Christ, that he was crucified, that he rose from the dead. Those kinds of things there are historical proofs for. But the gospel itself, that he is the Son of God who died for our sins and was raised for our justification, that we have forgiveness of sins and eternal life in him, that's above something that you can prove with scientific test tubes and spades and this kind of thing. You know, that's the Holy Spirit is the one who convinces of this. But the role of apologetics is to get people to actually drop their silly arguments against the Bible and take the time to read it, so that when you read the Bible and with an open mind you listen to what God says there, you know, God certainly will do his work.
Amen. Well, it's been a great conversation, Pastor Wirth. I always enjoy talking with you, and we'll do the same again. Well, actually, next week is 4th of July, so we'll talk about that and figure out what we're going to do.
Okay, in a couple weeks, we'll be back again.
That's right. Very good. Thanks so much, Pastor Wirth. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks.
God's blessings. Coming up a little bit, we've got morning prayer. Stick around for that right here on Worldwide KFUO.